morning, Crossville Church.
Good morning.
I'm happy to see all of you. I hope you can say the same. there's no children's workers meeting today. There was going to be. There is apparently not, according to this bolded and highlighted note. So if you were planning on doing that, don't do that, because you'll be alone. It's next Sunday following our morning worship. Lunch will be provided, so if you needed a good reason to help, there you go. There's no choir practice today. The good news small group is not meeting, but the P Vine group is. So now you know. There's an NDI council meeting on Wednesday night at 5 p.m. in the conference room. These aren't complete sentences. So Wednesday night, children, youth, and adults, 6 p.m. There you go. there's a Bread of Life wish list in the foyer. For September, we will not be preparing a meal, but we still very much so appreciate your donations, so there is a box out there for that. Other events that are coming up are in the bulletin, both for this month and the coming months. There are boxes in the back for your offering. We do thank you for your faithfulness in giving.
In the dark of Aren't you glad that He can keep us safe until the storm passes by?
Amen.
That was my dad's favorite song. I don't need to get any more teary-eyed than I normally am, you know. But anyway, praise the Lord for that. Want to, this morning, welcome Steve and Gracie Down. They are transferring. Y'all wave at them. They are transferring their membership here to Crossville First from Concord Church of the Nazarene. And we are so glad to have them as a part of our congregation. As you see them around, now you know their names. And be sure and tell them how glad that you are that they're part of our congregation. Stand with me as you're able and let's sing together. Father's love for us.
Amen.
How
deep the Father's love for us.
How vast beyond all measure that He should give His only Son to pay a wretch His treasure.
Probably one of the scriptural truths we repeat the most is that salvation is a gift from you, that we're saved by grace through faith as a gift of you to us, that it's not the result of our own works so that we might not boast, but it's a gift. And so I thank you that even though we don't have a reason to boast in ourselves, we do have a reason to boast in you. That you, Jesus, have given us every reason to be confident, because you are true and you are just and you are present in our lives, if we would but follow. And so we thank you for being so close to us, for being so eager to pitch your tent in our midst, to tabernacle among us, to call us temples of the living God. We thank you for wanting relationship, for wanting closeness, for wanting something that is real. We thank you for you, and we just pray that we would lean into that this morning, that we would trust you in your goodness, trust you in your presence, trust you in your life, and that thereby we might live. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. I want to speak to you this morning from John chapter 10. John chapter 10, and we're going to begin with verse 11 and go down through verse 18 here in just a few moments. John chapter 10, verses 11 through 18. Over the past few weeks, we've been looking at the various times that Jesus describes himself using the phrase, I am. We've examined the words that he has said, that he is the bread of life. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate. As Pastor Jack and I have said, these all lead back to the message that I started with in this, in Exodus chapter 3, verse 13. You go to John chapter 8, verse 58, and we've talked about this every week, that Jesus was talking to the Jewish leaders, and as he tells them, he says there, I tell you the truth, before Abraham was even born, I am. Well, for us, that may be a little vague. For us, we may not understand that, but the Jews understood exactly what he was saying, which explains their reaction there in John chapter 8, verse 59, because at that point in time, they wanted to pick up stones and throw them at them. Well, the reason, you know, you wonder why in the world would they want to stone Jesus? It was not because of his superior debating skills. It was not because he was claiming to be over 1,500 years old. It wasn't about that what Jesus claimed to be. It wasn't about what Jesus was claiming about himself. It was about who he claimed to be. There's a drastic difference here between what he was saying and who he was saying he was. He was claiming that he was God, and that was, as we've talked about, it was blasphemy to them. And they were so taken back by it. They couldn't believe that anyone would make this kind of claim. In the book of John, as we've been going through it, we've noticed all these places that Jesus says, I am, and then he adds something to it. Last Sunday morning, we looked at the first part of John chapter 10. And in those few verses, Jesus states the fact that he is the gate, he is the door. And we talked about the fact that Jesus is the only way, he is the only way to salvation. We move to from that to see that Jesus is the real Messiah, that He is the real gate. And that, then we saw that as you and I go through that gate, that Jesus gives us real life. He gives us abundant life. He gives us full life. Well, He has said twice that He is the gate for the sheep. And then you come to this passage that we're going to look at this morning. And here Jesus says that He is the good shepherd. Look at John chapter 10, beginning with verse 11. He says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down His life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Praise His name. It's an amazing passage when you stop and think about it. I mean, when you begin to look at this passage, the clarity with which He speaks, the picture that He paints in the minds of those who are listening. I mean, as I said last Sunday morning, as He's talking here about sheep and shepherds, these people understood everything that He was talking about. They were familiar with the shepherd and the sheep. For thousands of years, Israel had been shepherds. They had been compared to sheep all throughout the Old Testament. Their greatest king, David, was a shepherd. And when David was looking for a description of God that everybody would understand, David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And that was just one of the places that David would refer to God as a shepherd over the people of Israel. You go into the New Testament, and you're going to find that as you go into the New Testament, the New Testament writers, they pick up this analogy. Matthew, in Matthew chapter 9, verse 38, said that Jesus was moved with compassion when He saw the people because they went around as sheep without a shepherd. Last week, and I said this last week, and I'm not sure you might not have appreciated it, but I said last week that sometimes when the Bible speaks of us as sheep, it's not always a compliment. I mean, we look at these sheep and we think they're soft, fluffy animals. And I know that some in our congregation have had sheep. And you know, I understand that, but all that I've ever been able to find out about these animals is that sometimes they're not too bright. You know, sometimes, but this much I do know, that they are defenseless. As I said last Sunday morning, and you know, if they get over on their back, they can't get back up. And I told you that I'm coming to relate to that more and more. They have no way to defend themselves. And so when the Bible begins to equate us with sheep and equates Israel with sheep, I mean, it was one of those things that, yeah, you can kind of say He knew what He was talking about. Now, aren't you glad that you came this morning? But Jesus repeats something twice here. Just as He repeated twice that He was the gate, so when you come to this passage of Scripture, Jesus repeats this phrase twice, "I am the good shepherd." And I'm glad He just doesn't stop there. Because He goes on from there and talks about the fact and gives us some of the characteristics of a good shepherd. And it's those characteristics that I really want us to see this morning. Look at what He says. The first thing that I want you to notice this morning is He says that the good shepherd gives His life for the sheep. That's what He says in verse 11. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down His life for the sheep." Then you go down to verse 15 and He repeats it again. "I lay down my life for the sheep." I mean, the whole heart of the passage here is that Jesus understood who He was and what He had come to do. He had come to lay down His life for the sheep. What's amazing to me about that is that Jesus understood the waywardness of the sheep. He understood that sheep could get themselves in great danger. And the sad part about that was that sometimes sheep make very silly choices that put themselves in great danger. I was talking to Pastor Jack this week. We were talking about the message. He showed me a YouTube video. I just love the young generation. They always have a YouTube video for anything, you know. It was this, they were digging a trench, I think, for a cable or something like that. And this sheep had got itself down in this trench. And the guy comes along and pulls the sheep up out of the trench. He's down in that trench face first. He gets him up out of the trench, and the sheep runs about 15 feet, takes a flying leap right into the trench again. Now, I'm going to tell you, we laugh about that. I'm going to go from preaching to meddling for just a second, okay? How many of us are just like that? We find ourselves out of the trench and we take a flying leap back into the trench. You see, Jesus understood the danger. He understood the danger that sheep would be in by themselves. And he is the good shepherd, and he values each and every one of those sheep so much that he says he was willing to lay down his life for them. I mean, I'm constantly amazed when I look at Jesus. I mean, there's a lot of reason for amazement, but when I think that Jesus came into this world understanding why he was coming into this world, understanding the people that he would give his life for, I stand amazed. I mean, I really do. I'm amazed when I read what Paul said in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates his love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ did what? He died for us. I read Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, and there it says that the Lamb of God was slain before the foundation of the world. So he understood. He knew the purpose. He knew what was going to happen. None of this was a surprise to him. He knew exactly what he was saying when he said, "The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." And folks, this act of laying down his life for the sheep was not some reluctant obligation. It was a willing sacrifice. It's a testimony to the depth of his love for us. He doesn't just risk his life. He gives it. He lived his life always putting the needs of the sheep before his own. He cared for them. He guided them. He protected them. He was a living sacrifice. He was a constant offering of service to the sheep. I mean, he even said in Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. We just sang that in the song. He came to give his life a ransom for many. I mean, Jesus is the good shepherd. He knows that we're not capable. He knows that we're not capable of overcoming the enemy, the devil. But he also understands that we're not capable of overcoming our greatest enemy in life, and that is death. That's the reason the psalmist said, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me." The sad part is we usually only hear that psalm at funerals, and there's nothing wrong with that. I understand that. But it's more than just a funeral psalm. It is a psalm that shows us the goodness of our great shepherd. And Jesus, as the good shepherd, he lays down his life for the sheep. But not only that, I want us to see secondly this morning that not only does Jesus, as the good shepherd, lay down his life for the sheep, Jesus, as the good shepherd, knows his sheep. He knows his sheep. Verse 14, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father." I mean, I've already said it once this morning. I'll say it again. Sometimes they're not the brightest of animals, but they do trust their shepherd. Jesus tells us in John chapter 10, verses 3 through 4, he said that the sheep recognizes the shepherd's voice and they come to him. I mean, he calls the sheep out by name. And after he's gathered the flock together, he walks ahead of them and they follow him because they know his voice. I had an uncle, lived in Lawrenceburg, Tennessee, and he had a dairy farm. I told you last week that I'm a city boy, but the dairy farm always amazed me. I mean, it really did. Uncle Claude had all of these sheep, I mean, all these cows, excuse me. He had all these cows, and he could go and make his way toward the barn, and the cows would see him, and they would all begin to come that way. If I walked to the barn, they never paid attention to me. They didn't care whether I went to the barn or not. He knew them. He could look at them. He could call them by name. And sometimes he would call one of them and it would come to him. It was the most amazing thing I'd ever seen in my life. And Jesus says he understands the sheep. He knows the sheep. I mean, this is not just some casual acquaintance that the shepherd has with these sheep. This is a deep and personal knowledge of the sheep. He knew which ones would go astray. He knew which ones he could count on. He knew their strengths. He knew their weaknesses. He knew their joys. And now I'm talking about us. He knows our sorrows. He knows our past. He knows our present. He knows our future. Jesus said that the sheep know the shepherd's voice because they hear it all the time. They understand that if they follow that voice, that good things are going to happen for them, that they'll be led to pasture and to water. I ask you this question, I'm coming back to it today. Do you know the shepherd's voice? In the clamor of the world in which we live in, do you know the shepherd's voice? Do you hear the shepherd's voice as you read the word? And folks, I'm going to tell you, you're not going to hear the shepherd's voice unless you read the word. Do you hear the shepherd's voice in the clutter, the clamor, the noise? Have you paid attention to it lately so that it's doing something within you? Is it guiding you? Is it leading you? Is His voice comforting you? Is it doing what it needs to do in order that you can live the kind of life that you need to live? Please understand, folks, if we're not trying to develop a relationship with the shepherd, we need to go back and examine the start of this thing. You see, we're supposed to follow Christ. That's a no-brainer, right? The sheep, they trust the shepherd because he's concerned for their well-being. He'll take care of them. He'll do what needs to be done. And if we follow after him, Christ's words, his teaching, his example, all of those things are going to have an effect on us. It's going to provide for us spiritually. The prophet was right when he said, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone into our own way." That's the reason I say it's so easy for us to compare ourselves to sheep, because sometimes sheep do some really silly things. But if we're familiar with the voice, we're going to find it easier to follow the voice. I mean, Jesus says here in verse 5, he says they won't follow a stranger. They'll run from a stranger because they don't know his voice. And I'm going to tell you something. If somebody is saying something to you and it doesn't line up with the Word of God, even if it's coming from a pulpit, you better be careful. You better watch out. Because Jesus knows His sheep and His sheep know His voice. The third characteristic this morning that I want you to see of the Good Shepherd is that he loves the sheep. And I can hear you right now, you're thinking, Not one place in there, Pastor, did it say that he loved the sheep. And you know what? You win the prize. You're right. The verbiage isn't there, but the implication is. Verse 15. I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up. This command I receive from my Father. The ultimate act of service. The ultimate expression of love is that the shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. That's the ultimate expression of love. I mean, in the face of such love, folks, we're called to respond to that. We're not called just to sit by and say, oh, that's a nice thing. No, that's not a nice thing. We have made, and please don't misunderstand what I'm saying this morning. We have made the cross, and I'm so glad that we have the cross and that we know the cross, but we have made the cross such a thing of beauty that we forget the horror of it. I lay down my life for the sheep. I mean, we have to recognize the value of that sacrifice. We're called to appreciate the love that drove this sacrifice. I mean, Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 13, greater love has no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. And then he says something that amazes me. And you are my friends, with a caveat, when you do what I've commanded you to do. A.W. Tozer said, to have found God and still to pursue Him is the soul's paradox of love. I read that, and I look at the paradox of this shepherd. He knows us. Our good, our bad, our ugly. He knows us, and yet He pursues us anyway. I mean, it was His love that led Him to lay down His life for the sheep. I mean, it's a love that knows us intimately, that guides us faithfully, that unites us into one flock. And folks, when Jesus begins to talk about a flock that are of another pen or another shepherd, He's talking about us. We were not part of those that He was talking to that day, but we're there now. We're part of that flock. We're part of the flock that He died for, that He cares for, that He loves. I mean, think about it, folks. It ought to do something to us. A song says, think about His love. And if you take a moment and you think on the love of the Good Shepherd, I'm telling you, it will change your life. A love so deep, a love so wide, a love so high, a love so long that it surpasses all of our knowledge. A love that led Him to lay down His life for us. A love that knows us intimately, that guides us faithfully. It's amazing. I've quoted it to you many times, so just hold on. You've probably got it memorized by now. But the last verse of the old song says, could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Oh, love of God. How rich, how pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. Please understand something, folks, this morning. The Good Shepherd loves the sheep. It's a beautiful thing when you stop and think about it, that the Good Shepherd loves the sheep. Application. The I Am of the wilderness is the I Am who is the bread of life. The I Am of the wilderness is the I Am who is the light of the world. The I Am who was in the wilderness is the I Am of the gate. The I Am of the wilderness is the I Am who is the good shepherd to us this morning. And the good news is, He can be your I Am today. He is all of that and more. Can I ask you something this morning? What do you need Him to be for you? Do you need Him to be the bread of life, the sustenance that you need? Do you need Him to be the light of the world? Do you need Him to be the salvation that only He can provide? Do you need Him to be that shepherd that guides you and leads you, comforts you, protects you? Whatever you need Him to be, He will be. But let me say this. Following the good shepherd is more than just making a trip through the gate and saying, I believe. It involves your life. It involves a relationship with the shepherd. It means you know His voice and that you are following after Him. He is the good shepherd that lays down His life for the sheep. Kind of just happened this way. I really didn't plan for it to be this way, but it happened, and so I'm glad it did. Today we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper together. We're going to celebrate the Good Shepherd laying down His life for the sheep. Aren't you glad that He did? If you don't know Jesus this morning as your personal Savior, I'm glad to tell you that before you leave this place today, you can. It's really just as simple as ABC. It's admitting that you've sinned, that you've come short of the glory of God, admitting that you need a good shepherd. It's believing. But it's more than just believing. It's believing that Jesus is the shepherd, that He gave His life for the sheep. Believing that He loves you and that He wants to be a part of your life. It's confessing Him as Lord. Folks, that's more than just a statement. That's a commitment. A committing of your life to the Good Shepherd who has laid down His life for you, saying, I will follow you all the days of my life. The Apostle Paul says that we ought to examine ourselves, that we ought to know. If there's anything in our heart and life that would prevent us from participating in this supper, I'm glad that we have this time, this morning, to say, Lord Jesus, forgive me. Come into my heart. Do something in me, Lord, that I cannot do for myself. The communion supper instituted by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is a sacrament which proclaims His life, His sufferings, His sacrificial death and resurrection. It also proclaims the hope of His coming again. And it shows forth the Lord's death until He returns. The supper is a means of grace in which Christ is present by the Spirit. It is to be received in reverent appreciation and gratefulness for the work of Christ. All those who are truly repentant, forsaking their sins and believing in Christ for salvation, are invited to participate in the death and the resurrection of Christ. We come to this table that we may be renewed in life and salvation and be made one by the Spirit. In unity with the church, we confess our faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. And on the night in which He was betrayed, He took bread, gave thanks, broke the bread, gave it to His disciples, and said, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, when the supper was over, He took the cup, gave thanks, gave it to His disciples, and said, Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. And so, we gather as the body of Christ to offer ourselves to God in praise and thanksgiving. And as we come to this place this morning, we need to ask God to pour out His Spirit on us and on these gifts. And we ask that as we receive these emblems of His body and His blood, that we be united as the body of Christ, redeemed by His blood, called to take His message to our world. We in the Church of the Nazarene do not practice closed communion, and by that I mean you don't have to be a member of this local congregation to participate in the Lord's Supper this morning. We simply ask that you know Jesus as your personal Savior, that you know your sins are forgiven, and that you know that He is one day coming for those who are His children. Let's pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Pastor Jack, would you come? Well, ask the congregation to stand. We will start with this side this morning and allow you to come through and go around and return to your seats. And as you do, hold the elements and we will receive them all together in just a few moments. Amen. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, broken for you, preserve you blameless unto everlasting life. Eat this in remembrance that Christ died for you, and be thankful. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for you, preserve you blameless unto everlasting life. Drink this in remembrance that Christ died for you, and be thankful. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the opportunity this morning with Christians all over the world and Christians across the centuries who have come to this supper. Some by taking it, Lord, have given their own lives. But we're grateful, Lord, that you were willing to give your life for us. A body broken, your blood shed. And we thank you, Father, that we are participants in this relationship. Thank you, God, for what you have done. Thank you, Lord, for these who are here this morning who have participated. May you bless this time. Father, I ask you that you would go with us from this place this morning and that you'd keep us mindful that you are the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. And we're grateful, Father, for this day. We love you. We praise you. We give you honor and glory. And we believe, God, you're going to do great things through your people this morning. And we give you glory for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for being here this morning. I'm glad that you were here. And for those of you who are guests today, we're so glad that you were with us and hope that the Lord has blessed you. If you live in the Crossville area, come back. We would love to have you as a part of our congregation. They're a good group of people. They really are. It's not saying much for their pastor, but they're a good group of people. Anyway, may God bless you. I'm glad you were here this morning. You are dismissed.